if we fast forward now into the summer of 2015 and then September, October, November 2015, because this is when a lot of the public money was spent on this part of the lucrative scheme. In other words, the scheme where there was only one tier of tariff and many people were jumping in on that. Jonathan Bell, as you know, a member of your party, still a member of your party, is accusing the Office of First and Deputy First Minister and special advisers of trying to stop delays. What's your reaction to that?
Trying to stop delays or trying to stop cost control?
Trying to stop delays in implementing the cost controls.
It's my understanding, looking at the papers, that Jonathan was told in June that there were big difficulties with this scheme. He received a submission in early July. He did not sign that submission off until I think somewhere in early September. And in that submission in early September, he chose to close the scheme in November. So Jonathan took all of those decisions. No one from the Office of First and Deputy First Minister, as I understand it, having spoken not directly, but to understand from the former First Minister that nobody in that office intervened. I certainly didn't intervene because I was a finance minister at the time. What authority would I have had to intervene? Because I was at the same level as Jonathan. Why would he have listened to me in relation to any of these issues?
He is saying, and this is a man who was a minister, your party appointed him as a minister, he is saying that an official or officials from OFM, DFM and SPADs, special advisers,
Well, I have no
put
evidence for
pressure.
that. You have no evidence for that. This is Jonathan trying to distract from the fact, of course, that he took the decision in September after being sent the submission in July to close the scheme in November, thereby leaving a gap and thereby allowing a spike.
He named one of the special advisers, who you know well, as Timothy Johnson. And when we asked Mr. Johnson, did you ever attempt to influence any decision in relation to the RHI scheme? He replied, the role of advisers is to offer advice. I never sought to influence any decision. Did he
Yes.
advise to delay the tariff being delayed? The
Well,
tariff being
no,
changed?
I understand that no one from the Office of First Minister and Deputy First Minister intervened in terms of the tariff change in September. What I do understand is that advisers, of course, will advise, but the minister takes a decision.
What's the minister now? It's Jonathan Bell's responsibility now.
The minister on advice from officials, yes.
So, did Timothy Johnson have any role in advising to keep that lucrative scheme open?
No.
I want to move on. There seems to have been delay after delay. If you think about it, they want the scheme changed in September. They then want the scheme changed in October. They then want the scheme changed in November.
No, the submission that was signed by Jonathan in September stated that the scheme was to close in November.
No, there was a period of October where they wanted it
No,
changed as well, 1st of October.
the submission that he signed off in September said November.
1st of October was also a point that they aimed for,
Yes,
First Minister.
but what
So
he
it's not
signed off,
no, it is
no,
yes.
what he signed off on the 4th of September was that the scheme would close in November.
What I'm asking you is, do you know why there were these delays then?
I have no idea.
You haven't asked?
No, that's a matter for Jonathan. Why would I ask? I was finance minister at the time.
Why would you ask?
Yeah.
You're the First Minister of our country. This
Why?
is a scheme which has
Yes,
cost
a scheme which
hundreds of
Jonathan
millions of
kept open
pounds,
for a
and you
period of
still
weeks.
haven't asked what the
No,
delay is
because
about.
Jonathan hasn't spoken to me for a long period of
I'm
time.
talking about you
And
asking on
he.
behalf of the public.
Yes, well, perhaps I'm sure he'll tell you why he delayed the scheme and left it open for a period of time. It would be very interesting to hear because I am bemused as to why he would leave it open for such a period of time.
So let me get this right. We are hearing now of people who have been putting boilers into sheds and blasting heat into the sky. We know that these delays were a factor. And as our First Minister, you still haven't asked what the delays were about. You still haven't briefed yourself.
No, because Jonathan signed off on a submission on the 4th of
Do you not want
September.
to know?
Well, I'm sure you've asked him the reason why he has left the scheme open for that period of time. I'd be very interested to hear why he has said that, because, of course, there was no influence from the former First Minister. There was no influence from me as Finance Minister. How could I have an influence because I was at the same level as Jonathan? He took the decision to leave it open for that period of time.
Do you think you maybe should ask?
Well, this will all be part of the investigation as to why it was left open for that period of time.
So you're not going to... Again, a leader of this country is now aware...
But do you honestly believe that if I asked Jonathan Bell why he left the scheme open for that period of time, given everything that that we think he's going to say tonight, I don't know what he's going to say tonight, but given the manner in which he's given this interview tonight, do you think he would tell me why he left that scheme open for that length of time? I don't think he would.
And you haven't asked one official up here?
Why would the officials tell me it was Jonathan's decision?
The public of Northern Ireland are being told that many hundreds of millions of their pounds was committed to over a period of October and November, and we've already agreed tonight that there was a date in September when the scheme might have been closed.
No, he didn't. There's no date in September. Why do you think there was a date in September?
The Permanent Secretary, Andrew McCormick, said in June he wanted it closed in September.
Yes, but yeah, but there's no submission to that effect.
But the
he said to Jonathan in June, there's a problem here, Minister, and we need to get this signed off as quickly as possible. Jonathan got the sub in July. He didn't sign it off to September. Why did he not sign it off?
Of course, you had changed, hadn't you? Because you were, within this period, you were the Minister for DFP, the Department for Finance and Personnel. And there were supposed to be reviews in there for spending, wasn't there? And you were, your department was supposed to be monitoring the spending. Why didn't you do that properly?
Because we weren't told by Treasury until I think it was January of the following year in 2016 that there was a difficulty between the annual managed expenditure and the DAEL expenditure, the expenditure that comes from our block grant. So there wasn't actually any red flags given to us until January of the following year by Treasury.
But it's still the role of the Department of Finance and Personnel to monitor spending.
In conjunction with officials in the Department of the Economy or Department of Enterprise, as it was.
But you don't have to wait for something to go wrong again. The function of your department at that stage was to monitor spending.
And we
were told, why didn't you?
And the Department of Finance were told that a submission had gone to the Minister, that the Minister signed off in September, that they were going to close the scheme. They weren't going to close the scheme, they were going to put in tariffs in the scheme.
But there was unapproved spending, wasn't there?
Yes, well, the unapproved spending, of course, happened as a result of that spike that was left open up to November, that's right.
And in DFP, was that under your watch?
Yes, it was under my watch. Are you saying that anything that happens in any other department is now...
I'm saying you were the Minister of DFP. And the spending wasn't monitored?
The spending was monitored within the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Investment, and then they report into the DFP, which then reports to the Executive. Yes, that's exactly what happened.
DFP was supposed to give approval, wasn't it?
No, DFP was not to give approval.
It was not to give approval?
No, DFP has a role in relation to when something is flagged up to them by the particular department, and at that time they believed that it was being dealt with by the Minister.
In relation to keeping the scheme open, Mr Bell alleges that, as you know, there has been an attempt to remove references to you and to the Office of First Minister from email chains. What's your reaction to that?
Well, now we've moved on to the closure of the scheme in January, February time of 2016.
Correct. So by this stage, and thank you for that, for this stage, there is now a two-tier system. That happened on the 17th of November.
That's correct.
And so now we're into January, and... the Treasury sends a letter to our government here saying, we're not paying for this, so there's panic. And we need to find the money from somewhere.
That aligned with the fact that I had someone who come in to me and said that there was fraud in relation to the RHI scheme. That person came in to me towards the end of January. I was concerned, obviously, about that issue. I shared that. I was then, as you know, in the executive office, as it is now, OFM, DFM. So I shared that information with the Deputy First Minister because I was in a joint office. By this stage, Jonathan had received a submission to which he signed off to close the scheme in March of 2016. We felt that that was too late of a date, and so we spoke to him, and that was actually brought forward to February. Now, the piece that you're talking about, and something which I can't understand, was actually the fact that we had had a consultation with Jonathan in relation to this issue, not to delay the scheme, but to actually bring it forward from March to February. And the submission's there and is quite
well. Let's deal with that first. Let's deal with that first. Jonathan Bell alleges that he wanted to close the scheme. This was very much his thought process in January. He alleges that you called him to a meeting. He says there was a stand-up row. He uses the word abusive. He says you were shouting at him to keep it open.
Well, there's a couple of things there. First of all, he signed off a submission in January to close the scheme in March. And I was concerned that that was too long, and I believed that it needed to be closed before that, as did the Deputy First Minister. We discussed this issue. In relation to a meeting with Jonathan, I do recall a meeting with Jonathan, and rather than me being abusive with him, he was very aggressive with me, and I have a witness in relation to how he spoke to me.
What happened?
On that. Well, I was sitting in my room, and he came in and used his physical bulk to stand over me in quite an aggressive way. So much so that he was, not physically, but he was told to step back. And, you know, Stephen,
the Jonathan... What was the anger about?
I have no idea what the anger was about.
Well,
But I'll tell you this much, Stephen. The Jonathan Bell that appears, and I've only seen a small clip of what you have tonight, the Jonathan Bell that appears on your programme tonight is not a Jonathan Bell that would be familiar to many of his political colleagues, to many of his civil servants that he worked with in the department.
Wasn't he a friend of yours?
Let me finish the point. Or indeed to many in the business community. I have many female colleagues who have felt intimidated and felt bullied by Jonathan over the years. I certainly felt...
Mr Bell would emphatically deny that.
Well, and I certainly...
Emphatically deny that.
Yeah, well,
he
may well do that. But let me say this. I have felt intimidated by Jonathan Bell on occasion. And I certainly did on that occasion. So all of this nonsense that I... was aggressive to him. It's quite the contrary, Stephen.
What was he saying?
It's quite the contrary.
What was he saying?
He had went to the... he had put out a statement saying that he was closing the scheme immediately. And representations were made across the political spectrum that there'd been a lot of people who had spent a lot of money on capital equipment who hadn't had the chance to apply into the new tiered scheme. Don't forget, this wasn't the scheme... before November, this was the scheme that had been tiered. And we spoke to senior civil servants and they said, well, there may be a possibility that there'll be legal challenges if these people have spent money and that they haven't been able to apply into the scheme. So we thought that the best way forward was to leave a two-week, very specific gap for those people to be able to apply in. And that was done...
So you did ask for it to be extended?
Well, hold on a wee second. This was after I had said that March was too late. March, don't forget, was Jonathan's date. So we then, in conjunction with senior civil servants, who agreed that that was the right thing to do. And indeed, if you look at Jonathan's statement in the House that followed, he said that the two-week period was in consultation with the Office of First and Deputy First Minister. So what he was angry about on that occasion was the fact that he was going to have to change from immediate closure to another 2 weeks. And he didn't like... the fact that he was going to have to go back to the House. And he was angry about that fact. And he made no bones about it, I have to say, Stephen, when he came into my office.
So he wanted immediate closure. He didn't want March. He wanted immediate closure, you've just said.
No, he signed off for March. Please follow. He signed off for March in January.
You just said immediate closure is what he wanted.
We said to him that March was too late, that we needed to bring it forward. When we brought it forward, it was then made clear to us that people may have had legal
I heard you
difficulties.
Said, you've just said he wanted immediate
yes, after
closure.
Already signing off for March, when we went back to him and said, we need to close this, Jonathan, he put out a statement saying, I'm closing it immediately. We said, but Jonathan, there are a number of people in the system that need to get through. And that's the reality. And you know what? The paperwork will show all of this. And that's why I'm quite confident about it all.
And that's why I'm really keen to get to the paperwork.
Yeah.
And the allegation that Mr. Bell has. He alleges in relation to keeping the scheme open that there has been an attempt to remove references to you and the Office of First Minister from email chains. What is your reaction to that?
Well, I know nothing about email chains. The only change that I have seen is in the draft submission, which was to close the scheme in March, where it was taken out. OFM-DFM was taken out of that draft submission and just left as after consultation. Instead of saying after consultation with OFM-DFM, it just says after consultation. And that's the only thing I'm aware of.
The original version said the decision to proceed in this way, proceed without consultation, we're talking about the 3rd of February consultation here, 3rd of February submission, my fault, had been taken following discussion with OFM-DFM and DFP.
Mm-hmm.
And that then changed. The revised version said... that Mr. Bell had decided, and so it was left to him that the record would show that he was the sole decision maker. Now, I wonder why OFM, DFM and DFP was taken out of that.
This is all irrelevant. You know why it's irrelevant?
It's irrelevant?
No, can I tell you why it's irrelevant? Because in the House, Jonathan said, I have, after consultation with OFM, DFM. So he makes it clear that we were involved. Makes it entirely clear that we were involved.
Are we going to get some of our money back?
Yes, we are, because we're working on a plan, and actually the plan is going to come forward early in January. The Department of Economy have been to see their lawyers, and I think it will be a very substantial plan, so we're looking forward to that coming in January. And this is all about finding a solution to the difficulties that have arisen and finding a plan to deal with it.
There were 12 audits in 2014-15. 11 of them failed. Now we're going to audit everybody now that this scandal is in front of us. By the way, again, you were the minister when there were those 12 audits by Ofgem. Why on earth weren't we auditing all along?
Well,
why weren't we checking
because
everybody?
Because Ofgem, who were the regulator, didn't alert us to the fact that there was a difficulty. And of course, there
they
was an
they
underspend.
They said they asked for more money, First
and
Minister.
Actually,
don't
course,
you know this?
Of course, there was an underspend in my department
they
at
said,
the time I left.
Do you know that they asked for more money to do more audits?
I have no idea whether they did or not. It wasn't raised with me.
Weren't you the minister?
Yes, I was, and it wasn't raised with me.
So you don't know?
It was not raised with me, Stephen.
Why not?
Well, that's a very good question, and perhaps that'll come out at the PAC.
Jonathan Bell has said he believes his political career is over. Is it within your party?
Well, of course, that's a matter for the party officers. We will meet to discuss Jonathan's future
You're
within the
leader.
Party. Yes, and we have a party officer team that take decisions such as this.
What do you make of him?
Well, I think that he's a very aggressive individual. He's been very aggressive to me in the past. I think that he will try and portray himself in a particular way this evening. But I think plenty of people know exactly what Jonathan Bell is like.
Are you prepared to consider stepping aside while there is an investigation into how hundreds of millions of pounds of our money has been committed to be spent?
Well, of course, it won't be spent because we have a plan coming forward to deal with that matter, and that plan will come forward in January. So, no, I'm not stepping aside. I'm the First Minister. I'm the party leader of the DUP. I have a job to do. I'm committed to do that job. And can I say to the hundreds of people that have contacted me today, thank you for your support. Thank you for ringing into my office. Thank you for contacting all of the offices across Northern Ireland. I really do appreciate your support. And I won't let you down. I will implement the plan to deal with these issues.
We can both agree that this has been a catastrophe, that hundreds of millions of pounds have been committed, OK? Have you had any sleepless nights over this?
No, I haven't, because I'm putting together a plan to deal with this issue. You know, a mark of a politician is not in good times, it's in challenging times. I'm determined to see this through. I'm determined, whilst others walk away, to make sure that we find a solution to all of this, because I owe it to the people of Northern Ireland, and I take my duties and responsibilities as First Minister very, very seriously.
Final question. How much of our money do you think we'll get back?
We will get a significant... Well, of course, it hasn't been spent yet, so it's not a case of
the money that
getting
the money back. The money that has been committed to be spent.
Well, of course, we will get a significant proportion of that
more than half?
Back. Yes, well, I would hope that that would certainly be the case, yes.
First Minister, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
There's another newsline just at the very end of that interview. The First Minister saying she hopes she will get half of the money back after they go out and audit these schemes and bring in the legal avenues that they have to try to get some of your money back. And by the way, before we get into this whole the money's not spent malarkey, the money is committed to be spent, and that's what we mean.